Good evening. Can everyone hear? Okay. Our sermon this morning is from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 8. Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, "The Lord will surely exclude me from his people." And let no eunuch complain, "I am only a dry tree." For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to learn from your word. We pray that you will help us to see how wide your gates are opened to people who trust in you, that all those who call on your name can be saved. And what we think of is disqualifications of background and all these kinds of things, all of these don't matter to you, because you want us to cling to you through trust in Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So when you were growing up, did you have a close-knit group of friends that you had around you? Did you feel like your friends knew you inside out? Did you know your friends would stand by you so you and wouldn't betray you or leave you? I'm guessing that a number of people here would be able to say very much, yes, I did, at least part of your childhood perhaps, even if not all the way through. So some of us could say that. But others of us are probably thinking that we had a little bit of more trouble fitting in. We might have had friends, but we never quite knew exactly where we stood with them. And the world can feel like a lonely place for a child who feels that way. As adults, we still want to be known through and through. We want to be known perfectly. We want to be known perfectly and still loved. There's a belonging that not even the best friend group can provide for us. And there's a kind of acceptance that many people have never felt. Those who are blessed by God have this complete belonging and total acceptance. Our text today shows that Jesus calls even those who feel like they're farthest from him. And it has been his plan from the beginning to invite all kinds of people into his kingdom so that they are his people forever. So through this text in Isaiah 56, 1 through 8, we're going to look at three things. First of all, who is blessed? And I'm thinking of verses 1 and 2 for this. So A, who is blessed? B, how are they blessed? And that's 3 through the first half of chapter of verse 7. So verses 3 through 7, how are they blessed? And C, can we be blessed? That's the second half of verse 7 and verse 8. Who is blessed? How are they blessed? And can we be blessed? Who is blessed? Verses 1 and 2 say this. This is what the Lord says. Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. It says, blessed is the one who does this. Isaiah is showing us that it is, Isaiah is showing us who it is that is blessed by God. He says, maintain justice and do what is right. The person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, keeps their hands from doing any evil. The Lord here is picking two practices that epitomize a holy life. Maintaining justice and keeping the Sabbath. Why does he focus on these two practices? Well, the Lord himself is just, and he always does what is right. When people maintain justice and when we do what is right, we live together as God designed for us to do. Concerned for the poor and the weak, honesty in business dealings, telling the truth, giving generously, all of these things are ways of life that please and honor God. Maintaining justice means treating all the people around us with dignity and with respect because they're God's image bearers on earth. Justice and doing right are key ways that we can be faithful to God and his covenant. Keeping the Sabbath in the Old Testament was another way that God set Israel apart from all other nations. It marked them as belonging to the Lord. Trusting God to provide for all your needs, even when you don't work on one day out of seven, which is what the Sabbath entailed, not working every day of the week takes faith. People in Isaiah's time were only half-hearted in keeping the Sabbath. Back in chapter 1, verse 13 in Isaiah, it says, God tells the people, bring no more vain offerings. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and the calling of convocations, I cannot endure iniquity and solemn assembly. The Lord here in Isaiah is describing people who went through the motions, but there was no joy, no heart in what they called worship. Note that God's people maintain justice and keep the Sabbath not to gain salvation, but to show love and obedience to their Savior. We can know that it is right and good to treat all people as God's image bearers, with the dignity that image demands. But knowing that they are made in God's image does not automatically make it so that we treat them as images of God, does it? We can trust God to provide for us, but we can still have a hard time parting with our offerings every Sunday. We might be eager to maintain justice, except in those cases where it's really hard to do. So I would suggest what we need to do what God wants us to be doing here is to have the joy of trusting God. We need joy in trusting God. So part B, how are they blessed? So we started with who is blessed, and now how are they blessed? So in verses 3 through the first half of 7, the Lord talks directly to the foreigner and to the eunuch. Why did God choose to speak specifically to these people? Probably because they both symbolize outsiders and misfits. They aren't supposed to belong, according to wisdom, to human wisdom. Foreigners are mentioned first. There are many verses in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that urge believers to care and provide for strangers. One example is in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. It says, "When a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So who is this foreigner? Who is this stranger? It's a stranger who sojourns in Israel, which means it would be a foreigner in the land of Israel. And Leviticus says to the Israelites about this person, love this stranger as yourself. So the golden rule, love your neighbor as yourself, extends to the foreigner, to the stranger. But at the same time, in ancient Israel, parts of the temple were reserved only for the Israelites, the Jewish people. Foreigners, strangers, and aliens could trust in the Lord and obey his moral law, but I imagine that they must have felt left out at times of the full experience of being part of God's people because they couldn't go to those parts of the temple. God speaks in our passage to the emptiness and grief of foreigners and of anyone else who feels forgotten or left behind. He shows what he has intended for them all along. He says, God says, "Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.'" And verse 6 says, "Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar." So I think this shows that God welcomes the believing foreigner into his presence. Whether the foreigner thinks I belong to God or not, that God welcomes even the foreigner into his presence through faith, if they come through faith. Okay, in this passage, Isaiah also talks about eunuchs. Eunuchs could sometimes rise to, in Old Testament times, eunuchs could sometimes rise to high positions as royal advisors because the kings knew that a eunuch would not try to kill them and start a new dynasty. So there was a level of trust that a king might be able to have with a eunuch that he couldn't with other people. But Deuteronomy 23, chapter 1, says that eunuchs cannot enter the assembly of the Lord. They were excluded from full participation in worship in that way. So our Isaiah 56 passage focuses on the fact that the eunuchs cannot have children and how difficult that would have been for them. In verse 3, a eunuch cries, "I am only a dry tree." Now, in the passage, it says, "Don't say that," but to have to say, "Don't say that," means that people were thinking that way, right? So, "I'm only a dry tree." A dry tree will never bear fruit, and unfortunately, neither will this eunuch. Into this exclusion and grief, the Lord says, "To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. A eunuch could not enter the assembly of the Lord, but he has something even better, an everlasting name that will endure forever. This blessing is for those who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, and who hold fast to my covenant. Those who were rejected will be accepted by the God of grace, and the key is that they hold fast to God's covenant. Those formerly excluded will be included and welcomed into the assembly, and the result will be joy. Verse 7, the second half, says, To these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. God blesses and includes eunuchs and foreigners who live among Israel and are committed to God and to keep his covenant. But what about us? So part C, can we be blessed? Can we be blessed? Can we who are not Jewish be blessed by God and accepted into his assembly? Let's read the second half of verse 7 and then verse 8. It says, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered." All nations. Isaiah starts his list of those who can be blessed by saying it is those who maintain justice and keep the Sabbath, which the Israelites would be expected to do according to the law. Then he expanded it to the eunuchs and the foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord. And now he's extending it to people who live in the nations. All of these people can be included as part of God's people. Those who trust in Jesus, whether Israelites, priests, foreigners, eunuchs, those from the nations, all of those who trust in Jesus and follow him and obey him, all of these people can be part of God's people. These people obey God, but they don't obey him in order to be saved. They obey him because of what he has done for us, out of appreciation for that. We may not know why God chose the Israelites to be his people. We might not know why certain things are considered to be ceremonially impure. But we do know that God is good and that his ultimate aim all along was to open wide the gates of salvation and the gates of salvation and belonging to anyone who puts their faith in him. You may have noticed a couple places reading what Isaiah was saying, you might have noticed something there. God says there's blessing for those who maintain justice and do what is right. And if you're like me, you probably read that and said, I can't do that. I'm not able to consistently do what's right. There's a solution to that. And as I'm sure most people here know, it's not trying harder. It's putting your trust in Jesus. Jesus lived the life that we should have lived and died the death that we deserve to die. If you have faith in Jesus, he took on your sin and the punishment you deserved. And he gave you his perfect righteousness. We have a guarantee that God the Father fully accepted Jesus' sacrifice for us. What is that guarantee? It's Easter. It's today, what we're celebrating today, the resurrection. Jesus died and rose from the grave. His sacrifice was accepted, and that means that we can be accepted through Jesus Christ. You might think that somehow you are outside the circle of God's grace. But this passage shows that anyone, including outsiders, including eunuchs and foreigners, even you and I, all of us, all these people, can come to God and be accepted into fellowship with him in Christ. We started with the concept of being fully accepted by our friends. We can never be fully accepted by people in this life. Sin, selfishness, and pride always creep in. But in Christ, we are fully accepted. We truly have fellowship with Jesus and with other believers now. We have this now in this world. And we will have perfect fellowship when we enter heaven. People and God will know us through and through and love us despite the sins that we committed in this life. And Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," not because of my record or your record of good deeds, we don't have a good record, but because we are holy and righteous in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Trust him today. And we will close in prayer. Thank you, God, for your plan of salvation. Thank you that those who are excluded by society or who feel that they are too sinful to be forgiven, that all who call on the name of Jesus to be saved are welcomed with open arms into your kingdom. We thank you and praise you for that, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.